That's Charles Davis, audio from Fox. Welcome back in to the McNeil and Parkins show. One of my favorite football analysts in the game. He does a great job on the Fox broadcast with Kevin Burkhart. You can see his work, the NFL Network, NFL Draft, the Madden franchise. This guy is everywhere. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. And Charles Davis joins us now on the McNeil and Parkins show, and he's doing some work with X-Tech shoulder pads. Use the promo code DRAFT at xtechpads.com for 10% off your pad order. Cool shoulder pads, Charles? Thank you for the time. Is that what this is?
Yeah, these are not just cool shoulder pads. They're the shoulder pads of what I call now and the future. They're the ones that everyone needs to get in because you guys know how the game's going. I mean, you follow as close as anyone. What was the latest rule that college football had? You can call fair catch on the kickoff now, right? And bring the ball out to the 25 if you catch it in the field of play from the 25 in.
Yep.
They're doing everything to take the kickoff out of the game without taking the kickoff out of the game. Why? Head injuries, right? They're worried about concussions. It's the biggest play that we have with people running 40 yards and running into each other full force. Well, I'm not here to dispute people wanting to be safer, right? Be smarter about how we play. But if that's where we're headed, because we're also doing it with the new rule in the NFL about dropping your head when you're running the ball, that means the shoulder is going to be a bigger part of the game. And the guys I work with, Bob Broderick, Teddy Monica, who founded the X-Tech company, they saw the future before we did. They saw this coming and said, shoulders are going to be huge, guys. We got to get better shoulder pads. So they got together and got a partnership and design, exclusive partnership with XRD Military Grade Foam, which does a great job of dispersing on contact. So all the hit, you're not taking it in one spot. It disperses it. You don't feel it the same way. Lightweight, they don't absorb water. Remember when we were kids and after football practice, your pads weighed 10 pounds more because of all the sweat in them? Not anymore, not with these pads. Look, great players are wearing them. Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Odell Beckham. Guys coming into the draft are wearing them like Josh Rosen and Josh Allen. Kids who are in high school are going to their colleges and saying, I want to wear this pad when I come in because kids have already locked into it. And I'm not just saying it as a person who's endorsing them, guys. I had a son who played high school football. I put him in X-Tech pads his senior year when he had a bad shoulder. Everything went great. I wouldn't put him in anything else if he had continued to play ball. And I tell everyone I talk to, this is the pad that you want. This is the one that you need to get. I'm telling you, Bob Broderick and Teddy Monica saw it before we did. And now it's here.
He's Charles Davis. It's xtechpads.com. Use the promo code DRAFT for 10% off your pad order. Let's start with the simplest question, Charles, ahead of the Bears having the 8th pick. Is this a good draft?
I think it is. I think it's a good draft through and through. Like any draft, there are positions where you feel like there's a plethora, and there are positions where you feel like, ooh, I better get one of those guys early if you're thinking they all pan out and have the impact. Now, we all know that guys have bigger impact later in the draft, but guys who walk around and take bows for that more so than anything else are just going on borrowed time, because a lot of that is fortune, isn't it? A lot of that is you didn't see it earlier. It's kind of like the Patriots. Well, we recognize Tom Brady. Well, you passed on him 5 times before you took him. Okay.
Right.
So did you really see it, or was it just time to make a, you know where I'm going with that. So trying to get this draft right is always difficult for everyone, but I think that there's some positions, plenty of players, other positions like edge pass rusher. If you're thinking that this is a deep draft for that, I don't think that you're looking at it the right way. So that's just my own opinion.
The Bears are sitting there at 8, Charles, and they could use a pass rusher.
Yep. Well, look, at 8, you would think that Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State, who I think by consensus is the best pass rusher in the draft, you would think that he's not going to be there. So that leads you to, if you decide you're going to take an edge pass rusher there, okay, you're going to run to the board, you know, or up to the podium, we're taking an edge rusher. You're probably picking between Marcus Davenport, UTSA, or you're picking between, or Harold Landry from Boston College. Davenport, I think people would be able to kind of get their arms around taking him at 8. I think if you took Landry at 8, people would probably have an arched eyebrow because he didn't have a 2017 that equaled 2016 for various reasons. Over time, could Landry be better? Yeah, he could be. But Davenport's a bigger guy. He's got more frame. I think he's going to fill out a little bit more. And my best comp for him is Ziggy Ansah. with more experience on the college level. Ziggy didn't have that at all. You were taking a real leap on Ziggy, and Ziggy went to the top 10, and he's been in double-digit sacks two of the last three seasons. The season he wasn't, he had a bad ankle most of the year. So that's what you're looking for. That's what you would have if you're going to take someone at eight. Personally, I don't know that the Bears will go there. I think that at eight, if Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, is still sitting there, I feel like that's where they will go, because you have to take care of your number one commodity, and now is time to really get your arms around taking care of Mitchell Trubisky. You got to keep him upright, keep him from getting hit. And by the way, Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen would wave their hands and go, "We'll take him. We're good."
Charles, how good does a guard need to be to justify the investment of the eighth overall pick?
You need to be at the level, or think you're the level of close to the level of Nelson, and you also have to have things kind of conspire for you in the draft. It wasn't too many drafts ago that we took a lot of guards in the top 10, top 15, remember? Jonathan Cooper, you remember that?
Right, no, I know, but like
Chance Warmack, like, all of that. But the reason they went so high is the rest of the draft wasn't up to snuff. In this case, this kid is maybe the second best ball player in the draft, depending on some draft rooms. That's why he's justified going this high.
Because I've been saying that he's got to be Zach Martin. Like, Pro Bowls aren't good enough. He's got to be best in his position.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. And if you take one that high, that's what you've got. But I will tell you that if you go through the 32 teams, I think almost all 32, if not all 32, will tell you that they've got him rated as an all-pro level potential guard.
Yeah, this guy's ready to go right now. Right, Charles?
That he's ready to go. He was trained very well by the guy who's now your offensive line coach.
Yep.
So that doesn't hurt at all. But just think of it this way, and this is the way I look at it. I don't know how Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich and crew are going to look at it, but I see if you're able to somehow get Nelson, now you put White, to me, a White hair play center. I put him back there, and I leave him there for the long haul. I'm getting Kyle Long back off for the surgeries, and I plug this other kid in at the other guard. Now you've got your tackles already in place, but that middle gut pressure that quarterbacks hate gets tamped down by those three, and you run the ball even better with Cohen and Jordan.
Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox and the NFL Network is our guest talking NFL draft, which is 10 days away. He's with us on behalf of xtechpads.com. Use the promo code DRAFT for 10% off your pad order. Let's assume for the sake of argument that Chubb is the best defensive player in the draft. Who's the second best?
Great argument will break out for you, because you've got two linebackers that I think are really good, and I think a lot of people do as well. Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech, who's probably 6'4", 6'5", 250, 255, but he's 19 years old, about to be 20. So there's still some growth there. And then there's Roquan Smith, who the whole country got to see on the run to the national championship game, playing an inside linebacker, looking undersized. But when we watch the NFL today, you see the Atlanta linebackers, right? You see the Seattle linebackers. You see guys. You don't see a ton of bulk all the time. And he does compare favorably. You know, Tampa Bay's Quan Alexander, Deion Jones from Atlanta. He compares to those guys who can outrun a lot of things and still smack you. So those are two of the better defenders that you're talking about. Go to cornerback position. I think the kid from Ohio State, Denzel Ward, is the best corner. The safeties are going to be between Minka Fitzpatrick at Alabama and Derwin James of Florida State. And we already talked about Chubb being the best pass rusher, which is the guy who affects the game the most.
So give me the name. Like Charles Davis says, because I'm of the belief that the Bears should take a defensive player, best player available on defense, because their defense is the closest thing on the team to being great. And if they got an impact player, whether it was pass rush or secondary, that's what could take them from the 12th best defense in the NFL to a top five or six defense. So do you have one name that you'd be willing to give me for the Bears there?
Yeah, because I don't think Chubb will be there for you. So I would give you Denzel Ward, the kid from Ohio State.
Okay.
They've turned into a factory of corners. I guess you guys have kind of noticed these guys are coming into the league and producing at a high level quickly. Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. The interesting thing is most of them are one-year starters at Ohio State and coming out early. So they got great coaching there. They adapt very quickly. This kid's running, you know, 4-3, 4-5. Yeah, I mean, 4-3-5, 4-4. He will hit you, okay? He's not going to – I mean, he's 180-something pounds, so he's not going to totally blow you up. But he's a willing tackler. who will put his body out there, and he's got an excellent ball skill. So that's where I would go if I couldn't get the pass rusher, because I would struggle to take Davenport at 8 because I think you're getting Floyd back anyway. So I would more likely go with the corner.
What were your impressions of Trubisky in his first year on the job?
I heard you play that thing. I believe that was from the season opener, wasn't it?
Was yep, against the Falcons. Yep.
And then Tariq announced his presence with authority, as Nuke LaLoosh would say.
Mm-hmm.
I was on record during your preseason game at Tennessee that he should start game one right out of the gate. I just didn't – I'm not a big believer, if I'm taking a quarterback that high, that I'm going to sit him and have him watch when the person ahead of him is clearly not better. And that's how I felt in the beginning. And you have to understand, I'm a monster Mike Glennon fan. I've known Mike for years. I'm talking about how I would evaluate him as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm taking a kid at 2, I would have spent the entire offseason doing everything possible to get him ready to go and be my starter. And he looked like the starter. And they still chose to go with Mike Glennon. That was up to them. Different regime, different crew. To me, it was just lost time in him in his development. I like his moxie. I like his toughness. I like his seriousness about the game. It means something to him in a huge way. And we say this all the time, but I'm all in on this kid feeling that way, first in the building, last out at night. I think that he's got all the tools you're looking for in playing the position. And I think getting Mark Helfrich and Matt Nagy will be a boon to his development, because they will bring some of the stuff he did in North Carolina right to him and then expand on that. That's how Dak Prescott developed in Dallas. They went to Mississippi State stuff, developed the rest of it, and continue to develop it as you go. These staffs that meet these quarterbacks halfway are the smartest staffs in the league, and I think that this staff will do that for this young man. I think that he's got a chance to be a heck of a player.
So when you add that in, the coaching staff changes to Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and Trey Burton, the big offensive playmaker acquisitions. What's realistic for the Bears this year, Charles?
Well, it's going to come down to that offensive line, guys. It's going to come down to, can Kyle Long be healthy for 16 and be the Kyle Long we've seen before? You know, can you get white hair where he only has to play one position and not two or three within a ball game? If you do that, I think that this is a team that's now going to press towards 8 wins. Okay, I think that they're going to make that move. One of the best moves ever was Vic Fangio staying to run the defense. You know, it's the stuff that we'll talk about more and more when the season comes in. But right now, with the draft going on, everything else, we don't talk about it. But those defensive guys love playing for him, and they played better on defense than really what you saw on paper. You know, when you put the numbers down and the names down, they gave themselves chances to win games they probably shouldn't have been in. There were some times when it didn't go as well. Like I did the Philadelphia game, but I don't know how much of that was the defense as much as it was the offense just kind of imploding on them that day.
Charles, as we sit here on the 16th of April today, which team in the NFC North do you respect the most?
In the North?
Yep.
Respect the most, meaning I think is the best?
Yeah, sure.
Minnesota. Minnesota, I mean, until further notice, they've pushed all their chips to the middle of the table, haven't they? I'm not a great poker player, and if the buy-in's over $1, I'm not sitting down at the table, okay?
Come on.
But,
you got that Madden money now.
Yeah, that, and I'd like to keep it. If I sat down at the table, it'd be gone in a heartbeat. You guys would have it. So, but they pushed their chips into the middle with the acquisition of Cousins. The defense is pretty well intact. You know, they continue to make their development and investment in this ball club. Brand-new facility is opened up. But they also have on the back end contracts where that bill's going to come due in a year or two. So they got to get it done, and they know the urgency. And by the way that season ended for them, that should be a great motivating factor for them going forward. I've got Minnesota. Green Bay is going to be an interesting mix this year, isn't it? To see with the new coaching staff, all the changes, brand new quarterback coach for Aaron Rodgers, and it's one that I'm not sure he wanted. Okay, and it's a guy that's been around the league in a number of different places. I'm eager to see what that mesh is going to be and see how it works out. And Detroit, I think that Bob Quinn, the GM, is very, very excited to have Matt Patricia. I think this is a person he's very comfortable with and in a sense probably has wanted for the last couple of years to begin with. So your division is a fun one to watch, and it's very interesting, and it's a great slugfest. But I just tell people all the time, the thing that I always admired about Chicago even last year was they were in some games that I didn't expect them to be in. And then other times it got away from them, but they just didn't have enough tools and they weren't equipped for it.
Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox and the NFL Network is our guest on behalf of xtechpads.com. Use the promo code DRAFT for 10% off your pad order. Is it going to be a three-man booth with you, Burkhart, and Jay Cutler this year, Charles?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know anything about what Jay's doing now. I haven't heard anyone say anything about Jay potentially being with us this year. You know, I'm a worker bee. They'll tell me when the time comes, but I don't anticipate that. I anticipate it being me and Kevin, and we'll see what else happens. You know, there are a lot of other names that are being kicked around as well this year, so we'll see how it goes. You know, I've heard about a number of guys who are still out there that they may get. Peyton Manning obviously is not coming based on all reports now. Joe and Troy look like they're going to handle Thursday nights as from appearances, and again, no one's told me. But who knows who else might pop up. There's always different guys out there wanting one of those spots. I just hope I get to keep mine.
Like you said, you're the worker bee. I think you'll be okay. Were you in on those auditions with Jay? Because that was always an interesting thing for us, like the idea that he would transition to be a game caller and a member of the media. It seemed a little bizarre to a lot of us.
Yeah, I was not in on any of the auditions. We did come together as a group because before Jay went to the Dolphins, of course, he was full speed with us. So we actually all went to Nashville, our group, our team, and spent some time with him there and started walking through, you know, kind of the mechanics of it, you know, for lack of a better word, kind of TV 101, just to try and kind of get up to speed. This is kind of what we do. And a lot of it is what goes around the broadcast. It's not necessarily the broadcast itself, because it's kind of like, Jay, what you think of that play? And he'll tell you. That's, in some ways, for new guys, the easiest part. The other part is the unknown. When do I get to town? What do we do when we get there? You know, when do we meet with teams? What are those meetings like? You know, all those things, those mechanics that go with it, you pick up on them pretty quickly. But once you got to get through the unknown before you can settle down to the brass tacks. And that's what we were trying to do before, of course, you get that great offer from Miami. And I couldn't blame him for going to play.
Yeah, no, I mean, it paid a little better, I imagine.
It I don't know what his contract was with Fox, but I'm just guessing that the Miami offer was a little bit, there's a few more dollars in that one.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go play, and like I've told a lot of people, I was never good enough to be in the NFL. But if I'd had the chance, and when guys talk about, you know, when they want to retire, play till you're done. Because you're not going to find another job like that. You're probably not going to find very many jobs where you're going to pay, where it's going to pay better. Play till you're done. And that's what Jay was trying to do. And in a sense, he doesn't talk about it. I'll just say it. Last year was a chance to maybe change some of his legacy. And unfortunately, that didn't work out because the Dolphins didn't make the playoffs.
That's true. Hey, you know what? Actually, on that note, speaking of like legacy and the idea of like a quarterback caring, you said you loved that Trubisky seems to really care a lot. That was obviously the question with Jay. I can't get enough of this Josh Rosen story. The idea that he might be too smart to be drafted. It's so counterintuitive. What do you make of Josh Rosen and the idea that he has too many interests or is too smart?
I think that it's an old school way of looking at players that is rapidly leaving us. And what I mean by that is, if you think back to the good old – look, I'm 53, okay? So if I go back to my high school days, my college days, there's a lot more we get to rule almost ruthlessly, okay? And I'm not saying they're bunching us or dope, but I'm just saying the head coach's word was law, and that was it. And you weren't questioning much. But we're in a whole different time frame. And I think the league is changing as well with the type of coaches you have, because the old school coaches who don't expect to be questioned, there aren't many of them left, because you just can't work with the athletes of today. And when people talk about, well, you know, he asked why, and that, like, that's a negative. Peyton Manning asked why. Drew Brees asked why. Tom Brady asked why. You better tell them why, because they may have some ideas about how to do it even better or in a different way. That's how you have to challenge these guys. So the idea that you're worried about challenging Josh and this, that, and everything, well, if a team doesn't have coaches ready to challenge him, that team's not going to be very good anyway. That means they did a lousy job of selecting their coaches. So to me, it's an overblown story in that aspect. But, yeah, the kid's got other interests. Who doesn't in this day and age? I've got a 20-year-old son whose interests vary bigger than mine did. Mine were at the age of 20. When I was 20 and I was in college, it was football, it was going to class, and if the young lady's on campus. And I bet you can guess the order. Okay?
Yeah.
These kids nowadays, they have all of that plus a million other things. Because remember, nowadays these kids are used to living their life on stage. And they're very comfortable with it. We didn't want to live our lives on stage. If we got noticed too much, we got called out by elders. Oh, mister, you got to show yourself all the time. These kids, it's Instagram, right? It's Snapchat, right? It's Twitter. They'll post a video of anything. And that's what scares you as a parent. They're very comfortable with all of that. So, yeah, these kids are going to be different.
We know that of those three, class was third, but do the co-eds or the football rank first? I can't decide, Charlie. I mean, you were at UT. You were at Tennessee. That's pretty good.
Depending on who was in front of me at the time. If the coaches were in front of me, it was football.
Got it.
If the coaches weren't in front of me, are you kidding me?
So the co-eds is the answer.
Maybe I have my answer why I never made the NFL. Maybe I learned.
Well, Charles, don't be a stranger. We enjoyed it. Follow him on Twitter at CFD22, the NFL Network, NFL on Fox, and xtechpads.com. I've never heard anyone speak as passionately about shoulder pads as you did earlier.
I'm just going to tell you that, always sounds like a line. I'm all in on this because the game is changing. And Bob and Teddy got out ahead of it, and shoulders are going to be a crucial part of the game going forward. So I want everybody to be protected so we have those guys out there every Sunday.
The promo code is DRAFT for 10% off at xtechpads.com. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, guys. Take care of yourselves.
Thanks, Charles.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.